Well, please keep your Bibles open there at Proverbs chapter 9. And there's an outline that's provided for you today. And let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, in your Son, Jesus Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We pray that you'll enlighten our minds and hearts by your Holy Spirit this morning. Give us a sense of humility and reverence when we come to your word, and help us so to understand your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Dumb ways to die. Dumb ways to die was an Australian safety campaign in Melbourne used by the Metropolitan Train and Tram Network in Melbourne in the last decade. The advertising campaign appeared in newspapers, local radio and outdoor advertising throughout the rail and tram network. Now, if you've ever ridden a tram or a train in Melbourne, then you can understand the need for a public safety campaign. You may have just missed being hit by a tram or a train in Melbourne. It is very easy to be hit by a tram in Melbourne. According to Metro Trains in Melbourne, the campaign, Dumb Ways to Die campaign, led to a 30% less near-miss accidents in the first 12 months. It had a campaign video, a Dumb Ways to Die video, and it went viral in 2012, and it was watched 30 million times. Not only was there a campaign song, but there was an app for people to have on their phones, a Dumb Ways to Die app. And it was a game that was very popular amongst adults and young people. The idea of the game was to earn as many points as you can by avoiding death, usually, you know, near train or tram lines. Now, the campaign, Dumb Ways to Die, was very, very popular. It won numerous awards. However, like many campaigns, it also received criticism, and the campaign video was even censored in Russia, okay, by the Russian authorities when it was played in Russia. But that shows you the reach of the campaign, Dumb Ways to Die. Well, in the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 9, we hear about dumb ways to die. In Proverbs chapter 9. Dumb ways to die. We read about the way of foolishness or the way of folly, which is a dumb way to die. And yet Proverbs chapter 9 also speaks of a smart way to live, the way of wisdom. The way of folly and the way of wisdom. Now the book of Proverbs, as you know, follows the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. Proverbs was written as a volume about 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus, and it's divided into two sections. Important to know this. It's divided into chapters 1 to 9, and we heard a bit of chapter 1 and we read chapter 9 this morning, and then it's divided into 10 to 31, so two main sections. And what we're going to do this Sunday and next is have a look at the two main sections of the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at chapter 9 this morning, and chapter 9 summarises chapters 1 to 8. And then next week we're going to look at chapters 30 and 31 together, which serve to conclude the main section of Proverbs, chapters 10 to 31. So that's where we're going. And if you've been studying Proverbs in your growth groups, you'll find these sermons very helpful by way of summary. So today, Proverbs chapter 9. Now, the first thing we hear about in Proverbs 9 is the way of wisdom. Wisdom is described as Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom. And Lady Wisdom invites you and I to a banquet. She makes preparations, she gets the party ready, and the invitations go out. And what a feast it is. Have a look at verse 4 of chapter 9. Verse 4, "Whoever is simple," she says, "let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense," she says, "come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight." Now, of course, Lady Wisdom's banquet isn't a banquet of food, it's a banquet of wisdom. That's the feast. It's a feast or a banquet of wisdom for the simple. Now remember, wisdom is more than having information or knowledge in the Bible. Wisdom is knowing how to apply the information, how to apply knowledge, how to live in the light of the fear of the Lord. And these verses are an appetizer, if you like, for the banquet of wisdom that Lady Wisdom lays out in the book of Proverbs. And we're really on the edge of the main part of the book. The book is being compared to a massive feast that is laid out for us. And chapter 9 is an invitation to eat of the feast or the banquet of Lady Wisdom. Now there's another feast mentioned in chapter 9, and you may have noticed it as Clive read to us this morning. But before we get to the second feast or the second banquet, have a look at verses 7 to 9, very important verses. Verse 7, "Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning." Now, these verses 7 to 9 are just an additional bit of wisdom that are inserted in the text. Verses 7 to 9 remind us that wise people who keep learning become wiser. Wise people tend to become wiser. That's part of being a wise person. A wise person knows how they should live in the fear of the Lord, and as they keep trusting the Lord and living in the fear of the Lord, they become wiser. And wiser. Obviously, the reverse happens as well. For those who are not wise, they can become more and more foolish. Now, you may have seen this in your own life. You may know people who you regard as wise becoming wiser as they get older. And those who are foolish becoming foolish even in their older years. Why? Because they kept treading the path of foolishness throughout their lives. Now remember, the path of wisdom is walking in the way of the Lord. And the way of folly is ignoring the way of the Lord. Now some of you may know this famous song by Billy Joel. I don't need you to worry for me, 'cause I'm all right. I don't want you to tell me it's time to come home. I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone. It's a song that really reflects the fool. A foolish person becomes more and more attracted to his or her foolishness. The wise keep getting wiser. The fool keeps getting more foolish. And so right at the beginning of chapter 9, we've got a little subtle challenge here for us. Am I getting wiser as I live my Christian life, or am I becoming less wise? Are we open to wisdom? When people come alongside you as Christian brothers and sisters and help you to see the way of the Lord, are you open to that? Are we open to that? Are we open to correction and rebuke? Sometimes when we get older, we don't like younger people correcting us, don't we? You know, because we think that we know the answers. We've been there. But the Proverbs remind us that the way to wisdom is to search and to yearn for more wisdom. Notice verse 10 to 12. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. It's possible to be very average in IQ and yet to be very high in wisdom. I know many people that have high IQs but very low wisdom quotients. Okay? You can be very, very clever. You can have multiple PhDs. You can be the ducks of your university, have the university medal, and yet be very unwise. That's the irony, isn't it? Wisdom is not just knowledge or information. It is living in the fear of the Lord, knowing how to live as we live in God's world. But then we come to the way of folly. In the second half of the chapter, or the last third of the chapter, actually. In verses 13 to 18, we read of another banquet, another feast, delicious but deadly. Verse 13, the woman folly is loud, she is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of a house, she takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Now, notice that Madame Folly invites the same sort of person to her banquet. She invites the simple. Lady Wisdom invites the simple to her banquet. Madame Folly invites the simple to her banquet. Now, this is where we need to understand who the simple are. Who are the simple? You and me. We're the simple, okay? Don't think it's someone else. The simple in Proverbs chapter 9 are you and I. We need the wisdom of God. And so you've got Lady Wisdom calling the simple, us, to a banquet. And you've got Madame Folly calling the same people to her banquet. Both Lady Wisdom and Madame Folly are competing for guests. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been down Chinatown in Sydney. You walk down the mall in Chinatown and you have people out the front of the restaurants trying to get you to come in. Now, you probably don't get the same sort of sense of it as you would in Melbourne. If you go to Melbourne, okay, in some places in Melbourne, and not just in Chinatown, but in the Italian section of Melbourne, you'll find people outside the restaurants almost dragging you by the arm to come into their restaurant, okay? And sometimes it's very hard to be polite, isn't it? When people are out the front saying, come inside. And you say to them, I've just eaten next door, you know? And you come out and you turn around and they want you to come into their restaurant. Well, that's the sort of picture that we have here in Proverbs chapter 9. You've got Lady Wisdom and Madame Folly. Both of them are out the front of their restaurants, asking you and I to come in, the simple. But notice that Lady Wisdom is very different, of course, unlike Madame Folly. Lady Wisdom is very industrious. Notice that Lady Wisdom has built her house, she has prepared her food, and she has sent out her messengers inviting people to come in. However, Madame Folly is very different. Notice in verse 13 again, the woman Folly is loud, she is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of a house, she takes a seat on the high places of the town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here." And to him who lacks sense, she says, "Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." So it's a very different invitation and a very different feast. Now, the imagery of feasting and food is a very common one in the Bible, you'll know. The Lord Jesus told a parable of the great banquet. You remember that one? In fact, he told a number of stories about food because eating in the ancient Near East, sitting down and feasting and having a banquet, was an expression of fellowship and partnership. We often eat because we're just hungry, right? But in many cultures, right, in many cultures, having food with someone is an expression of partnership and fellowship. The fellowship is more important than the food, right? And notice that this is the sort of ethos that we have here in the ninth chapter of Proverbs. But Madame Folly's food is of a very different sort and leads to death, as we're told in chapter 9. Now, there's all sorts of illustrations that I could give here, and I'll give you several. It's not just... Madame Folly is not only offering food of a sexual variety. Some of the words are sexually suggestive in this passage, and certainly her folly includes illicit sex, certainly. But folly is much more than that. Folly can happen when a retired person, for example, lives their retirement for their own pleasure. Playing sport or travelling the world without a thought for giving an account of their retirement to God one day. The businessman who is caught up in the pursuit of money so that relationships in his business and in his family suffer. All sorts of examples could be given to illustrate someone who embraces the banquet of Madame Folly. Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg, a distinguished adolescent psychologist, has given a startling picture of the 21st century teenager. He talks about society's problems being reflected in the classroom today. And he describes many students as growing up in a psychological wasteland without nurturing or support. Never before have young people been told so much, and never before have they known so little. Many of our young people are spiritual anorexics. So true. But before we smile, at that and point the finger at the teenagers, listen to the hard words that Archbishop Peter Jensen says about us. Our older generations have lost the art of transmitting community, tradition, and shared meaning. So it's not just the younger generation's problem, it's our problem too. That is, we can fail to hand on the things that we learn to the next generation or generations. And so this is why every age group desperately needs the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is needed by teenagers, it's needed by retirees, it's needed by clergy, it's needed by lay people, it's needed by everyone. Because it is God's wisdom for us. But did you notice that Madame Folly doesn't get the last word in chapter 9? Notice that she doesn't get the last word. Have a look at verse 18. But he does not know, that is the man who goes into Madame Folly's banquet, but he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. The writer of Proverbs, notice that Madame Folly is not talking now. It is the writer of Proverbs that adds this concluding verse in verse 18. He makes it clear that wisdom and folly are matters which have eternal consequences. And so wisdom and folly are not just constructs that are academic. They're not just issues that affect our physical welfare in this life. They have eternal consequences. If someone follows the way of Madame Folly, then eternal judgment is the destiny. If someone follows Lady Wisdom, which is the fear of the Lord, then the destiny is eternal security. And the book of Proverbs eventually takes us to Jesus. Because the good news of Christianity is that Jesus rescues us from folly. And he sets before us his feast of wisdom. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness? In Matthew chapter 4, he gets baptized by John the Baptist. He goes out to the Judean wilderness, and one of the temptations of the devil is about food. He says, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. It's the sort of thing that Madame Folly might say. But how does Jesus respond? He responds in the fear of the Lord. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is wisdom. See, Jesus is the ideal example of someone who does not turn into Madame Folly's banquet, but turns into Lady Wisdom's banquet. In fact, Jesus himself is the personification of wisdom. Jesus is the wisest person who ever lived on this earth. He always did and said and thought in the fear of the Lord. And he lived a life that you and I could never live, so that he could die a death that we could never die, so that we could be forgiven and brought to God's banquet table. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, in the society in which we live today, people are quite happy to talk about Jesus. As long as you make Jesus one of many alternatives. But when you start saying that Jesus is the only wisdom, the only way to live, when you say that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, when you start saying something like that, it becomes very offensive, doesn't it? To some ears. And at Christmas time, people love Christmas in Australia. I mean, I find it hard to find... I mean, sometimes you have some Scrooges around that don't like Christmas. You might be one of them, perhaps, but... most Australians love Christmas. But They love the cultural Christmas. That's what they love. They love the cultural Christianity, cultural Christmas. But they don't love the Christian conviction behind Christmas. That the only way that God could rescue the world is by sending his son into the world to die for you and me. I mean, God goes to extraordinary lengths to rescue us, doesn't he? Extraordinary lengths to rescue us, which means we must be in a pretty dire situation. That's the offence of Christmas. Jesus is the gift that God gives a world. They desperately need the gift, but only few receive it. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The alternate destination is death and judgment. And so in our readings today, we heard that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The book of Proverbs reminds us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the book of Proverbs takes us to the wisest man that ever lived, the God-man Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, says Paul in the letter to the Colossians. And so today, the book of Proverbs calls us to turn to the Lord. We are to turn to Jesus, we are to trust in Jesus, and we are to travel with Jesus. I'll say that again. We are to turn to Jesus. We call that repentance, turning to Jesus. Trusting in Jesus, we call that faith. And travelling with Jesus, we call that living the Christian life with Jesus as our Lord. Why don't I lead us in prayer that we might do that? Dear God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the book of Proverbs. We thank you for the challenge it gives us. But Heavenly Father, please help us to not make the mistake of reading the book of Proverbs without connecting it to Jesus Christ. Help us to see that the whole book takes us to the diagnosis that we are sinful and are in desperate need of forgiveness, and that we need to embrace Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Father, we pray that we might each day turn to Jesus, trust in Jesus, and travel with Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In his name we pray. Amen.